and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
Well, recently we were doing I was doing some reading, and there's this story that came through in the book that we're basing this series off of, where the situation was that a renowned opera singer was able to sing these wonderfully high notes. Like, I envisioned those notes that like break crystal and things like that, right? And all of a sudden, like, she wasn't able to sing those higher registers. And so some of the doctors initially thought that this was a voice problem, that there was some kind of issue where there was vocal cords, and the ENT doctors thought that something was happening here. And there was another doctor, Dr. Tomatis, that didn't think that was necessarily the case, but he started kind of measuring the decibel level of some of these singers, realizing that the way that we sing, and the way that especially opera singers sing, that inside of your head, that resonance can get up to 140 decibels. Bananas, right? When like prolonged exposure to some kind of notes are, if anything above 100 for a prolonged time can start that hearing damage. So if that resonates in your brain, so your whole cranium acts as like an amphitheater, they could no longer physically hear the notes that they were singing. And so Dr. Tomata said that if we can't hear the notes, we can't sing them. And that was the case. And so they had to relearn the way to hear differently. Isn't that kind of neat, right? That there's this thing, and it would seem that there would be a problem here, but really it was an audiological problem with everything that was going on. And so he looked at it a little bit differently. And so what that story kind of took away, and as we set the scene, that many of us have become deaf to the tones of the way that God speaks into our lives. And that even when God speaks, or even when we are called to listen to God, we forget the tone of which God speaks to us. Or we say that God hasn't spoken to me in ages and ages and ages, and the reality is that we have forgotten how to listen for the voice of God. And so today we're starting this two-part series that we're calling Whisper. Now, this is based on a book by Pastor Mark Batterson, who is a pastor down in D.C., and we're going to kind of touch a little bit on some of the bits, but it's available in print as well as audio, so I'm going to trust that if something sparks joy in your life, you can go and get that book, and we won't tell Marie Kondo, okay? So you can add that. That's a gimme, and you just say, Pastor Chris said, this doesn't count. And then when you read it and it no longer sparks joy, you pass it on to somebody else, okay? That's a fair bet, I think. All right, so anyway, so we're having this series. We're calling it Whisper, and we're talking about the way that we hear God's voice and the way that God speaks to us. And I think that one of the things that we have to remember is that God continues to speak over and over and over again. In particular, one of the things that Batterson writes in his book is he says that in 1940, a group of Wheaton College students went to England to the Epworth Rectory. Now, this is a great example because it's a Methodist kind of touchstone, and this is where John Wesley spent most of his time. And when they went into one of the rooms of the house of the rectory, what they found were these kind of divots or these worn places on the floor where it was rumored that then Wesley would just sit and he would pray fervently for God to act and move. And in this story, what happened was this group then kind of moved on from that space, but they were missing a kid. And I can't imagine but thinking, you know, I've taken kids on enough trips to know that pit of your stomach drop when you count and then you recount and then you are missing one still no matter the way that you count, right? And so what happened was professor that was taking them on the trip moved, and they were missing somebody. They were missing this guy named Billy Graham. And what they found was that Graham was on his knees in those ruts where John Wesley had worn away the wood. And he was praying this prayer of, do it again, God. How cool is that, right? because there was something about that space that was holy, because he expected that God continues to speak and move in light of everything else that we have going on. Do it again, God. Do it again, God. Now, it may not be worn floorboards in a long-dead guy's bedroom that is a holy place for you. Maybe I hope that's true, right? But I bet that there are some holy places that you know of that you can name that are like, man, I feel like this is a place where God's Spirit moves. Do you have any of those places? Maybe it's nature for you. Maybe it's, you know, next week I'm going to talk about one of those places for me, and that still every time I drive past that place, like there's something that stirs inside of my bones. But there are places where what the Celtic Christians would call that there are these thin places. Sometimes it's at the communion table when we celebrate that, where heaven and earth come a little bit closer together, and that veil of the divine and the normal, the human, just feels a little bit thinner, where we are ready for that perception of what God is up to and doing. And so as we look, as we spend our time together today, we're going to be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3, because it's this beautiful telling of this story of God's whispers. And as we do that, we're going to hear three things that allow us then to tune in, to find those deaf parts of our hearing, and maybe start to train our ears to hear a little bit more fully what God is up to and doing in our lives. So the way that we're going to do it, why we didn't have scripture read, is that we're going to read through. So if you have a Bible or an app or something, 1 Samuel chapter 3, you can read along. It's going to be wonderful, okay? So the first part of this, it starts with meanwhile, and all good Bible teachers know that you have to figure out what that's there for, and everybody who's a good Bible student, you groan a little bit because you're like, "Buh, we got to go back," right? So it says meanwhile, and what that means is there was this priest, his name was Eli, and what Eli was doing was he was working for God, and the word of God had rested upon him. He was the prophet. He was doing all the right things. The problem was, that's where it ended. His kids, his family were doing all the wrong things, right? And so in God's eyes, you couldn't pass that torch, that mantle down to the children of Eli, because they were doing all this kind of nasty, loose living and all the bad biblical stuff that we hear about from time to time. And so what it says was that the word of God then started to leave Eli, okay? That's the meanwhile. We good? Eli, on the way out, he's aging, he's getting, you know, he's ending that kind of getting to the point of ending life, and so then what's going to happen next? And so, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. So here's his temple assistant, his assistant in there, and it says, now in those days the messages from the word were rare and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, so it's waning, right? So there's just this little ember that if you were to fan it enough, maybe you would get something, but it said it had not yet gone out. And suddenly the Lord called out, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied, "what is it?" And he got up and he ran to Eli, okay? Now there are not very many good biblical interpretations of this except for this picture right here. Now if you have kids or have ever been around young people before and they wake up in the middle of the night, you know that they don't just like, they'll stand like this, right? So you're sleeping, you're fine. They get like this so that their breath is in your mouth. Okay? Anybody, that's just probably my kids then. Okay? So you're sleeping, they're right here. Okay? You do not need some kind of Spider-Man ESP to realize there is a human being right in your face. Okay? And then, could you imagine? So you have little Samuel coming up. Right, not knowing what to do. And then because they can't control the volume of their voice, the Eli! Every time, right? Every time, terrified. You wake up because that face is looking at you. You think somebody's dying. And then he just goes, "Did you call me?" How are you gonna feel as a parent with all the grace and mercy that you can muster? Are you going to go, "Oh, sweetie, no." Yeah, no. Go back to bed, right? Anybody there? Because that's our house. So this happens. "Did you call me?" "I didn't call you." Go back to bed, right? And then it happens again. God calls. Samuel wakes up. "Here I am." "Dude, go back to bed," right? Happens a third time. And finally, Eli starts to realize that something else is going on. And then eventually what we'll see is that in our scripture, it happens four times that God calls Samuel, "Samuel, here I am." And Eli's not getting any sleep. And I'm assuming at that point, like the flicker of hope of having the word of God is just kind of dimming a little bit more, right? Because his spiritual joy is going with that sleep that he's missing. And so there's this thing, but what we realize is that God calls him not once, not twice, not three times, but something different happens on that fourth time. But God will continue to speak and whisper into our lives until we are ready to hear it. Isn't that good news? That it's not a one and done thing. That it's not a, I missed, I'm sure that I was supposed to take this road instead of that road, and so I just missed it, so why even try anymore? That's not the way God operates. If we see, and it's not just with Samuel going, "Oh man, what'd you want, Eli?" No. Right? There was this guy, his name was Balaam, and an angel stood in his path when he was riding his donkey down to the road. And his donkey saw the angel, but he didn't. And so his donkey kept going off the road, and he kept, you know, doing as any good PETA-approved person does. He just beat his donkey until he got back on the course, right? And it happened a couple more times. And then finally, in the voice of Eddie Murphy playing Donkey in Shrek, he looks around and he goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" And it was only then did Balaam understand that maybe this is God and not just an obstinate donkey, right? Time and time again, God is willing to speak and whisper into our lives and will continue to do so until we are ready to listen. And that is good news. So if you miss an opportunity, if you miss it once, man, just keep going, because there's going to be another opportunity to serve God and to partner with God in a meaningful way. Okay? So now we're at verse 7 or so. And what we find is that something different happens. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because he never had a message from the Lord before. And so the Lord called a third time, and once more he goes up to Eli and says, "Here I am, did you call me?" And Eli right then realizes that it was the Lord calling the boy. And so he said to Samuel, "Go lay down, and if someone else calls again, do not come into my room." He's getting it. He said, instead, "Say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And so Samuel goes back to bed. And there's this time where it says, you know, where we have this moment where God says, "Samuel, Samuel." And so after this kind of this, you know, back and forth, what we realize is that there are times and places where we don't innately know the way that God speaks to us. We don't just grow up knowing, oh, that message is from God and not from Eli three doors down. And so one of the things that this scripture teaches us is that we need to be taught how to hear God. We need to position ourselves in a way that tunes in to what God is saying to us. And here's the bulk of the book for Batterson, is that he then says that, you know, there are these seven love languages that God has. And there's even more than that, but these are the seven that he kind of identifies as being scripture and desire, doors and dreams, people, promptings, and even pain are these ways that God can whisper into our lives. Like I said, that's, you know, if those seem to be something that you're more interested in, please go and read the book. He does a much better job than I could do standing up here a couple of times, right? But the point of the matter is that we are not innately programmed to understand that it is God whispering into our lives instead of coincidence, instead of just happenstance, or instead of just, you know, something that we don't even hear and recognize. And so we need to surround ourselves with people like Eli who can say, "I think something bigger is happening here. I think there might be something more happening with what you are encountering than just what you think is going on." Right? And so some of those ways that we have is that we have these life groups that are ways in which you might have someone speak into your life. That as you study scripture together, as you just are in community together, as you share what life is doing and going on, you know, hopefully we have those peers and those fellow pilgrims on the journey that says, "You know what, this sounds a little bit like X, Y, or Z." I don't know how many times I've been in groups where then just the simple things become big things because you don't think about it, you don't have that perspective. Or things like ministries like our Celebrate Recovery. This past Thursday, we had a guest speaker there, and he shared his story about how God has spoken into his heart through family, through studying of the Word, through church, through all of these different ways. And while my struggles might not be all of his struggles, I still come out of that going, this is how God spoke to him. And so now I have 4 more love languages of God in my quiver so that when I encounter something, when I'm looking for God to speak and to whisper because God continues to do so, now I can recognize for what that is. But if we're not surrounding ourselves with people who are wise counsel like Eli, we are going to continue to miss out on that God-sized vision for our lives because we just don't know how to interpret it, because it's one of those deaf spots in our spaces. And so if you feel like you haven't heard God for a while, maybe we need to learn some of those new languages through those people that surround us. And so finally, here is one of the bravest prayers in verse 10, one of the bravest prayers that you will ever hear. So the Lord comes and he comes to Samuel again. Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." That's kind of terrifying, right? That if you hear this prompting and then all of a sudden you are bold enough to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Because here there's the shift from Samuel hearing God and not knowing where it's coming from, to then naming and saying, "Now I'm listening." Anybody know the difference, right? You've encountered the difference between somebody hearing you and somebody listening to you, right? If we hear somebody, we know that they're talking. But if we listen to understand. If we're hearing them only to formulate our response so that we can win the argument, we aren't in conversation. We're not listening. We're hearing them so that we know that when they stop making noise, then it's our turn to make our point. But if we're just hearing one another, no progress is being made. And so Samuel's prayer of, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," changes the game. Because it now says, "God, your response to me is more important than my response to what I think you want me to do," right? It's not, "I'm reading, I'm following you so that I can confirm what I already think you're going to say." But it's, "God, speak a new word," like Graham's prayer. Do it again, God. I am fully expectant that like you have done it to Eli before me, you're going to do something new in me. That's pretty powerful, right? That when we recognize that, yeah, even if we miss God once or twice, there's going to be a third, there's going to be a fourth, there's going to be a fifth time that God's going to continue to speak. So if we start to learn those love languages of who God is and what God's up to and doing in our lives, then something can happen. And then what we have to do then is start to posture ourselves in a way that allows God's whisper to come through, right? And so if you think about the way that when we expect God to act, we have to be ready then to listen. And that nudge might come in the daytime, but it also might come at nighttime. It might come in the middle of a desert like Moses in this burning bush that is burning, but it's not consumed. And then we get these whispers that say, "Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground." How often do you think that you're walking on holy ground and you don't even know it? And then you have an interaction with somebody and you go, "Man, that did not happen by chance," right? And that might be God's nudge to say, no, this is the place. Remember, I made it all. And so all the places, no place is off limits for me to do something again. And so when we think about this, when we think about what does this all mean, what does Samuel's story mean for us then for Monday, what happens is that Samuel then hears this and he speaks and then the Lord said, and it's not a great message, it's probably a hard message. What it says is, "I'm going to do something new. Eli and his family are being cut off. Essentially, that light is going to dim and go out for him, but I'm going to do a new thing through you, and I'm going to be faithful to God's people, but you're not going to have that great of a job because it's going to be tough, right? It's not all bluebirds on your shoulders and everything else." But so he gives this message, and then Scripture goes on and says, Samuel stayed in bed until morning, because Eli said so, finally, right? And so he's just sitting there, and I'm sure he's just looking out the window or seeing if the sun's risen yet or whatever, just waiting. But then if you get the message that your boss is out of a job and you know that you have to get up and work the temple then the next day with him, you're probably not going to hop up like it's Christmas morning, right? And so he gets up, and Eli says, "Hey, did the Lord speak to you?" And he goes, "Yeah." And they have this whole conversation because Eli goes, "I bet it was not great news for me." And then go on to say, "Yeah, God's doing this new thing in me, and you're out. And that stinks, and you're going to be cut off, and your family's out of luck. Sorry, man." You know, but God is doing this new thing. And what happens is that we need to realize, and what we hear on this week is that a whisper, unlike regular speech, comes from our breath, right? That when you speak so that you can be heard by everyone, you're speaking out of your diaphragm, you're speaking out of your chest. But a whisper comes out of your breath, comes out of what is stored up in here, and it's different because there's such a different tone to it. There's, you know, talking about decibels and how the opera singer can go up to 140 decibels in their mind. A whisper is as low as 15. And so what do you have to do if somebody is whispering to you? You have to lean in, right? And so the way that God speaks to us, that is engaging to us, that we have to lean in to see what God is up to say, "God, do it again, because I know that you've done it before." And when we do that, there's this breath that comes along with it. I think that's beautiful, that like even in the beginning at creation, it says that God breathed the breath of life into humanity. That even for the early Jewish people, they wouldn't write the name of God, but the four letters that represented God, the tetragrammaton, essentially was not a name that was spoken, but those four letters represented this kind of respiration. Okay, so we're going to try it. We're going to try it. It's probably going to be a disaster. Okay, but this is permission to fail. Okay, but the four letters, the YHWH, Yod Hey Vah Hey. So if you say it by going Yod Hey and exhale, Vah Hey, right? And so what they said was that, and I'm clearly not a good Jew, so my translation of the intonation is off, but it said that the name of God is like breathing for us. And so when we start to catch the whispers of God, we start to catch that spiritual respiration that happens, that our waking and our breathing then becomes aligned with what God is whispering into our lives. And so our whole life then is this act of worship, is this way that we Yod Hey Vahe, come in and out, and we make our rising and falling, even of our breath, that which God has called us to. If we are willing to start to listen to those love languages that God has in store for us. And when we start to do that, when we start to kind of catch that God-sized respiration, when we start to realize that those gifts of breath are of God, the things that we're facing at work seem a lot smaller, right? When we're speaking the love languages of God and finding perspective of what's going on, those strains in relationships, those things that we were fighting about, if somebody didn't roll the chip bag just so now that they're stale, doesn't seem so big anymore. And so when we start to speak in that love language of God, what we start to do is make our whole being that realization that the God of all the universe, of the things that are seen and unseen, has called us and whispers to us and won't stop until we start learning that language, until we say, "God, speak, for your servant is listening, because I know that you have this big God-sized dream in store for me." And now I get to live into that. And so this week, listen to those whispers, find that God-sized future, and start to maybe speak and reflect on those things that God has in store for you. I know that for me and where we are with the church and the church meeting stuff, that the more anxiety I have about that, the more I try to speak and live into and lean into those God love languages, and it has helped tremendously to say that I'm not going to waste my breath with the fret and the hate and the everything else, but that I'm going to spend my time, I'm going to release those arrows that I have, my mental energy and calories, on the things that matter most, getting into what God might have in store for me. And so as we close with a prayer, that is our prayer this week. Let's go to God in prayer. wonder where God speak life into us. Allow us to go from this place knowing that you continue to whisper, that you continue to speak, that you continue to call us as your faithful servants to hear those sometimes outlandish things that you have in store, but knowing that, God, we are trusting you, that you have big stuff in store. God of grace, as we are sent from this place, give us that fire that goes with your Holy Spirit to be on fire for you, sharing that love that is non-negotiable with those that we encounter this week. Amen. Let's stand and sing.